Would you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. In verse 1 in chapter 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. And now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that the stones become bread. Believe me, the devil doesn't attack you the first day. He waits till you're down and out. And Jesus said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, that was the first thing that he said when the devil attacked him, right? He said, it is written. He told the devil, listen, man can't live by bread alone. But every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So if it comes out of the mouth of God that man must live by, then obviously life and death is in our mouth also. Does everybody get it? Is everybody with me? Tonight's teaching is called the tongue. If it comes out of the mouth of God, obviously he's trying to tell us something, isn't he? Now we know that the word spirit means what?
Breath.
And if Jesus had to speak it, so do we do, right? I mean, how much more? Let's go to Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1. The tongue. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Genesis 1:1. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Well, how did he create them? Amen. Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he created the heavenly realm and the spiritual realm and the natural realm. In Psalm 33. Is everybody there? In verse 6. Says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Verse 9, let's read it together. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So what happened? He what? He spoke again. And that's how everything came into existence, didn't it? By his words. Now, so we see here in verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord, right? And then by his breath. Let me share something with you that in me and you, no one could hear any words unless there was breath. In other words, we have a vocal cord, right? There are words cannot be produced without some sort of sound. These are all sounds. In the natural realm, we look at words. In other words, when somebody speaks something or they tell you to go to something, we look at it as letters. In the spirit realm, it's light. God's word is light. Does everybody understand that? In other words, I'm sitting here speaking. My spirit is speaking. Amen. But it's bringing things out into a natural realm for understanding. Because we don't understand what the wind says, do we? So breath and words, okay, means spoken voice. Spoken. There are words on the page. I can read them, but until I began to add breath to them, it becomes a voice, doesn't it? It becomes spoken. Is everybody with me? Okay. So the Bible tells us that the written word is known as logos. L-O-G-O-S. It's a representation of, it's Greek meaning written, logos. Now, when Jesus was here, he said, my words are spirit, because Jesus was speaking them, wasn't he? So his words were spirit, because he was the spirit. Now, if logos means written word, right? And the Spirit takes the written words, the Holy Spirit takes the written words and speaks them, it becomes rhema, which means life-giving. Rhema, or living word. Okay? That's why Jesus could say, my words are life. Amen? Now we know that Jesus was the Word that became flesh, right? And we know that he was the Spirit also. So everything he spoke manifested. Amen? Because everything he was speaking was according to the will of God, right? And it was directed by the Spirit of God. So the words were from God and were God and are God. Now we've taken God's words and put them on paper and put them in the Bible. When we take those words with the Holy Spirit and speak them, manifestations come. Does everybody understand that? Because those words are light. If you've ever gone into a dark room and turned on the light, you see all the roaches run. You know? But light overtakes darkness, right? And then the little dark ones try and get out of the way. Oh, man, don't turn on the light, man. You know, when we were out there serving the devil, somebody came in and turned the light on. We were a little upset, hungover, and whatever. People would be all getting high and stuff, and the lights would be real low. I mean, why do you think they have bars? I mean, look at the bars. They're dark, aren't they? The saloons and so. I mean, some of the windows are even painted black. You know, I mean, the hot time in the bar is at night. Why? Because it's called the cup of demons. Amen? The cup of demons. So, if we allow, in other words, if we're not speaking enough light, darkness is overtaking us. Does somebody understand that? If you and I are not sowing or speaking enough light, darkness is overtaking us. That's why when you praise and worship, your attitude changes. Your circumstances change right around you because light is overtaking darkness. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little further here. Hallelujah. I'm going to... let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we'll go to verse 105. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Your word. Whose word?
Your word.
The word of the Lord, right? He says your written word, right? Your logos word. Okay? It says is a what? Lamp to my feet. In other words, while you're sitting here reading the Bible, the word is a lamp to your feet. Okay? Now, when you choose to take the word from the word, from the Bible, and speak it, something happens. Watch. Your word is a lamp to my feet and what? And a light to my path. Why? Because His word is light. We sometimes lose sight that we're not fighting powers of darkness. That we're in a world of darkness. And that the only way that you're going to be able to walk right is to have a light to your path. Does everybody get it? And you get a light to your path by speaking the word. Now. Okay, let's go a little bit another place here. Let's go to Psalm 55. I'm going to be skipping around here. I've got some scribbled notes in certain places. But we want to be led by the Lord. Amen? Amen. Psalm 55. Verse 1, and it says, is everybody there? Psalm 55? Let's read this together. Verse 1 through 3. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy. Does everybody hear that? The voice of who? He didn't say because of the presence of the enemy, did he? He didn't say because of a letter of the enemy. He said because of the voice of the enemy. Because of what? The oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. So what was happening? He was hearing the voice of the stranger, wasn't he? He was hearing the voice of the stranger. I want to bring you to a conclusion before we even get there. All right? And then we're going to go back. Let me ask you. If the word of the Lord speaks light, what is the word of the devil?
Darkness.
Amen. Do you understand that? Do you understand that when he heard the voice of the enemy, what happened? His light went out, right? Oppression came, wasn't it? He was brought down low. The devil's purpose is to first oppress you and then to harpoon you. So what is he trying to do? He's trying to prevent you from speaking the things of God. He's trying to cause your tongue to go another way. If he can cause your tongue to speak darkness, he manifests and kicks your butt. But if you're yielding to the Spirit of God, you're going to speak the things of God, God's going to manifest and kick the devil's butt. So we all have a choice, don't we? We have a free will. So we must speak the word which becomes a light unto our path, no matter what we hear from the devil. Does everybody understand that? We can't be led by what we hear, can we? We must stand on the truth. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back a little bit. Let's go to Exodus 3. Exodus 3. What the Lord is trying to bring us to in position is not to speak what you hear. Hello? Actually, he's trying to When you hear what you're to speak, or you're listening what you're to speak, because you always, before you speak, you always hear something. We must discern what we're hearing, so that we speak the things of God and not the things of the devil. Does everybody get that? The devil always brings doubt, won't he? He always brings fear. He brings confusion. He brings you back to the old man. He brings you forward into worry. Right? He brings you into serving and worshiping creation instead of creator. He always tries to bring us into the devil's house. Doesn't he? He's always trying to take us out of position of God so that he can replace in his position. And he does that by the voice, because the Bible tells us that many will fall from the faith, taking heed or listening to deceiving spirits, won't they? Okay. Exodus 3 and verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Don't draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, we know that bushes don't talk and neither does flame. Amen? Okay. I personally don't believe that there was a common language between them by voice. That's everybody understand. I personally believe that it was called an impression, because how many times have you talked to God in your spirit? Does everybody understand that? In God's presence, let me share something with you. If the Lord manifests in that way, you can't speak. The only communion with God then is in the spirit. And there are no words out of your mouth. Does everybody get it? In other words, when I had my encounter with the Lord and the Lord showed up, it wasn't a common language communication. The Spirit was praying through me, but I knew that I had nothing to do with it. My communion with God in the Spirit was spirit to spirit. I was not able to commune in that glory, in His presence. When Saul had the encounter with the Lord who became Paul, he didn't speak too much, did he? In fact, when the Lord spoke to him, nobody else heard anything, did they? Somebody get it? So we see here that God speaks to me and you by impression. Your soul interprets the impression and translates it to a language. Does everybody get it? It's quite simple. God spoke to Moses by spirit, or what we call impression. I don't believe Moses spoke back, because I don't think he could. In fact, if you read through all the Bible, every time the Lord showed up somewhere with Daniel, with Ezekiel, with John, most of them couldn't speak. He had to give them strength, didn't he, to speak. They couldn't speak. They could hear the words. They couldn't even speak. They were slain in the spirit. They were wiped out, man. Because the glory of God was upon them. Amen? So it was by impression. So we see here that when Jesus came down to the earth, two ways of speaking. God brought Jesus into the world so he could speak to his people. Does everybody understand it? Because he was the word that became what? Yeah. He was the word that became spoken. People could actually now see the word, hear the word, and feel the word. There wasn't about an impression anymore. Does everybody get it? Does anybody get it? Hallelujah. So we see here that there are two ways of communion, by impression and by speech. That's why you'll hear people say, you know, the Lord just impressed on me. Right? Or the Holy Spirit quickened me to something. Why? He gave an impression to you, didn't he? He impresses. Now I'm not saying, and some people who've actually heard the audible voice of God, it was an impression. It was loud. That's happened to me. It's woke me up. He's woke me up twice. Guy, I thought it was my wife one time. Guy. You know, look at what happened when he did it to Samuel. Remember the prophet Samuel? Didn't he wake him up like three times? And Samuel kept going to Eli, saying, "What did you call me?" He said, "No, man, go back to sleep." Finally, Eli got it. Yeah, maybe it was God. Yeah, it was God. What was he doing? He was impressing in him. He was speaking to him. Amen? Okay. So we see here God speaks to us through impressions, doesn't he? But there's two ways of communion, through impression and by speech. Because the Bible says, and you don't have to turn there, John 4:24, that God is spirit. Right? And if spirit means breath, we know that there's an impression, isn't there? In fact, we may not understand this, but even unbelievers are in the spirit, but they're not in fellowship with the spirit, because everyone is in God. All of creation is in God. The whole universe is in God. Okay? We're all in God. We're like in this huge aquarium. Hallelujah. So we see here that on the spiritual side of communication, it's known as impression. On the natural side of communication, it's known as a tongue. Okay? So we are impressed when God speaks, doesn't he? But on the natural side, we communicate or commune what the Lord has impressed to us so that others can understand by the tongue, don't we? Amen? Okay. Let's go to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why when you get impressed with something from God, it better be parallel with the Word. Amen? It gives its confirmation with the Word of God. That's why you must not only... know God's voice, you must learn God's voice. Does everybody get it? You learn. You'll learn how he speaks. You'll learn what the impression is. You'll know whether the impression is of the Lord or someone else. And you'll test what it is. And God doesn't mind when we test it. Amen? In Romans 8, hallelujah, in verse 5, Romans 8, verse 5. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? For those who live according to the flesh set their what? Minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now you got to understand something. In other words, your mind is set on the things of the Spirit. In other words, you know what you're asking yourself? What's the Lord trying to show me? Or what's he trying to tell me? Does everybody get it? What's the Lord trying to show me, or what's he trying to tell me? In what? In everything. In everything. Everything. Hallelujah. Okay. In verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's the fruit of a spiritual mind. The mind of the Christ, the mind of the Spirit, is life and peace. In verse 7, because a carnal mind is enmity against God. It hates the things of God, doesn't it? For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we see that we have a spiritual mind and a carnal mind, don't we? And if we are walking according to the flesh, we can't please God. Only can we please God as we're walking in the Spirit. So the devil would like to send an impression to you also, because he's also spirit, isn't he? He'd like to send an impression to you. In fact, he loves using familiar spirits. That's why I share with you that we must not only know his voice, but learn his voice, or know his impression, and learn his impression. You know, when you pick the phone and talk with someone, you know exactly who they are. Or you know what? Somebody may have said something, you were saying of what somebody said to you, and you know where it came from because you know the person that said it. Because you learned his voice. Does everybody understand it? So even though the devil can bring an impression to you, you're going to know, no, my daddy don't speak to me that way. He speaks to me another way. Even though the impression feels right, even though it sounds right, but I know that ain't my dad. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because the devil's trying to get you to speak something for him. If he can get you to speak something for him, he's led you on his path. Amen? Doubt, fear, unbelief, cussing, coarse jesting, all of these things. Okay. Mark 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 17. Let's read it together. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Now understand this. The word believe means to follow, doesn't it? So whether the tongues is manifest in you yet, if you desire it, it will. It's going to. Why? Because it's a promise from God. Those who follow me, I'm going to give them a new tongue. And you'll find that that perverse tongue begins to go away. Now, I'm not saying that just because you get tongues and you get filled with the Spirit that you can't go back and serve the devil. You have a free will and a choice, don't you? But you've been given the power now to say no. Amen? Okay. So we see here that, now, what happens is, now check this out. Now, we're praying in tongues, aren't we? It's called tongues of angels. So God gives us another tongue that we can actually communicate directly in the spirit realm. Isn't that powerful? So we can actually directly communicate in the spirit realm. And actually what we're doing is we're bringing things from the spirit realm into the natural realm by what we're praying. Hallelujah. So we get a spiritual tongue, don't we? God has turned your carnal tongue, your flesh tongue, into a spiritual tongue. And you can activate it at free will. Hallelujah. So when you want to say something to someone and you know it ain't right, go into the Spirit. In Jesus' name. You probably just blessed his socks off. Amen. Because the Bible says, bless your enemy. But your carnal mind was saying something else. Glory. But you got rescued, didn't you? And then you know what happened? You got empowered and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you didn't let me speak what the devil wanted me to speak. But I spoke what you wanted me to speak. So you yield your tongue to the Spirit, and he spoke through you, instead of allowing the mind to take over the carnal mind and cause your tongue to serve the devil. Hello?
Oh, man.
Glory to God. And Matthew 5. Oh, man, we're all going to be testing on this. Amen. Y'all better just be praying in the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, hello to your soul. Kiriyaramasan. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Matthew 5. And verse 33. Matthew 5 and verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the King, great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yeses be yes and your noes no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Ah, what he's talking about is justification. Why we do what we do and we try and justify it should be a simple yes or no. Yes or no. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18. Now, if somebody asks you why, then of course, you know. Proverbs 18. Everybody there? Good. Verse 21. And let's read this together. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So death and life is in the power of your tongue. Cursings and blessings are in the power of your tongue. Does everybody get it? Death and life and cursings and blessings. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceit, speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So we see here that, what is he saying? You want long life? You want many days? Then what? Don't let your tongue speak evil. And let your lips speak deceit. Amen? Because the Bible says, what you sow is what you reap. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. So you're going to, you know, we're going to reap whatever we speak. Go to Mark 7, please. Mark 7. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 14, I think. No. Mark 7, 14, yeah. When he, Jesus, called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. If he says, hear me and understand, he's got something to say. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you thus without understanding? Do not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. Now he's talking about what he's eating, right? For he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So let me share this with you. In other words, what you speak is determining where you are. Amen. What you speak, now of course what you do determines where you are too. Amen. So, what you speak is revealing the fruit of your spirit. If you're a perverse mouth, your spirit's contaminated. If you're still doing certain things, now understand, and I want to go through a couple things. In Ephesians 5, if everybody will go there with me. In verse 1, Ephesians 5, verse 1, Paul's writing, he says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, and offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving to thanks. Now understand something. I have seen brothers who have become close and begin to fool with one another. Hey man, how's it going? Hey, your mother wears army boots. You know, just fooling around with one another. And it's just a short period of time, they will get offended. It's called coarse jesting. Or, there's another thing. something's bothering you about someone, and you go around about instead of saying it directly to them, you go around about and lay something to reflect a wrong. That's called coarse jesting. In other words, you're jesting on something. Well, I'm only kidding. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, why don't you do this? Well, I'm only kidding. That's called coarse jesting, because out of your mouth speaks your heart. Coarse jesting. You mean we can't fool around? There's a limit to everything. That's why it's called boundaries. Boundaries. Why? Because what you sow is what you'll reap. Hallelujah. Does everybody get it? Turn to Jeremiah 18, 18. Hallelujah. Obviously, God is interceding, correcting, and trying to prevent. Jeremiah 18:18. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Okay. Let's read this together. Then they said, "Come and let us devise plans against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us attack him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words." How are they going to attack him? Amen. The tongue is a weapon, isn't it? The tongue is a weapon, isn't it? Now, let's go to James 3. James 3. Man, everybody's quiet tonight now. I ain't saying nothing, man. Praise God. James 3. In verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Hello. "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Everybody knows what he's talking about, right? You turn the horse to right or left or stop. "Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by a fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is also in our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." So your tongue can yield to hell. Remember, we talked about that, to Satan. "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Hallelujah. Only God can tame our tongue, can he? But we must, he's given us the strength to yield our tongue to him. So we have a choice, don't we? You know, even spirit-filled believers, they get angry and say stupid things, don't they? Amen. Somebody drops a hammer around their foot, they're saying certain things. Sometimes. I'm not saying all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, but sometimes, you know, it's like, we're not to walk by sight, are we? We're not to walk by what we feel. We're not to walk by what we hear or think. We're to walk by the truth. Now, the fact may be that you busted your arm or you're not feeling good. But the truth is that by his stripes you're healed and that you have the joy of the Lord. That's the truth. Facts and truths are two different things. Man lives by fact. We live by truth. Man celebrates the millennium because of the natural realm. The truth is that our millennium starts when we return with Jesus Christ and reign for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. The truth is that I have the joy of the Lord. When somebody says to me, well, how do you feel? Usually if I start quoting scriptures, they know how I feel. Because I can't go there. I'm not going to allow the devil to take hold of my tongue. I'm not saying that I'm a perfect man, because I'm not. There are things I say I'm usually quickly repenting after. Amen. So when somebody says to you, how you doing? Don't go into the soulless realm and tell them every bit of feelings that you have. Because what you're doing is you're putting wood on the fire of those feelings. I mean, you know, the worst thing you can tell a drunk is, oh, what's the matter? Man, they'll have you drinking with them. You'll be so oppressed with them. Amen? Come on, man. You ever... Anyways. So what do you say? You say, I'm blessed. I'm not going to go by what I feel. I'm blessed. I'm going to speak it in. Glory to God. Talking about speaking it in. Lost everybody. Go to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Oh, thank you, Master. Romans chapter 4. Is everybody there? Glory to God. In verse 16. Let's read it together. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not, which do not exist, as though they did. Now understand something. If God called those things that did not exist as though they did, can you and I? Amen. The same Spirit that spoke things into existence dwells within me and you. So you can call those things that are not as though they are. You can thank God for your healing. The fact is, you feel miserable. You might have diabetes. You might be... But you're thanking God that by His stripes you are healed. Because the truth is that He healed you 2,000 years ago. So what are you doing? By your spoken words, you're positioning yourself into receiving. Does everybody get it? The truth is, my marriage is falling apart. I mean, the fact is that somebody's marriage is falling apart. Or some kids, your children are lost. Right? Or that a job is messed up. The truth is that you're having a difficult time at your job. Or the truth is that, I mean, the fact is that your finances are in trouble. But the truth is that God does exceedingly abundantly, far above all you could ever ask or think. The truth is that He is faithful to complete what He started. Amen? So we're calling those things in as though, those things that are not as though they are. You have to call them in. Every day I call forth the millions of dollars from the north, south, east, and west in Jesus' name. And I thank Him. Thank you, Lord, for the fine. Lord, thank you for paying off all the mortgages. Lord, thank you for my health. Thank you for my work. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're faithful. I'm speaking the word. I'm thanking Him according to His word. Does everybody understand that? I thank you that He was in me is greater than He was in the world. I thank you that I'm more than a conqueror, that I'm the head, not the tail. I thank you that my house will be saved. I thank you. Now I'm speaking it in, aren't I? Does everybody get it? Calling those things that are not as though they are. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. The tongue. The tongue can start a forest fire. On fire. Psalm 45. Hallelujah. So when I see you and I say, how you doing? Don't tell me you're all right. Tell me you're blessed. You're blessed. And you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Psalm 45, let's read verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Man, your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Your tongue writes the things to come. Your tongue writes the things to come. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 39. We're in the Psalms. The tongue. Cursings or blessings. Life or death. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Psalm 39 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. Ooh. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle, while the wicked are before me. Do you ever get somebody before you, man, and they're just, man, you just want to, it's not easy. Not easy. But he said, I'm going to set a guard over my tongue while the wicked is before me. You don't need to set a guard over him when he's not before you. You know, ministering in the jail, we get a lot of people that, you know, come from all sorts of areas of life, certain teachings and so forth. And they want to stand up and kind of rebuke me of my teachings. Because they're not mine anyways, they're the Spirit's. Yet they won't sit, they're the ones that don't praise and worship at all. right? And they sit there. Usually I don't answer them when they lift their hands because I already know it's the devil. And but then sometimes I let them, I call on them and say yes just so that they become manifest so everybody else can see the difference. And so, you know, and I have to do that. But believe me, sometimes, you know, when that happens, it's like I want to just say, you know, we had this one guy who just, you know, I was sharing some things and went to the book of Revelation, was sharing about the Trinity of Satan and explaining certain things about that it's also a manifestation in the natural realm of the one world order of government, religion, and economic. And the guy stood up, and this guy doesn't do nothing. He just doesn't do nothing. In fact, he won't even receive the whole Bible. He sits there with some New Testament that I have no idea where it came from. And he doesn't follow along or anything, and it's like he was raising his hand because I knew he was going to come against whatever, and I'm like, you know, Lord. So he put on my heart to let him speak, and he spoke what he had to spoke, and of course he told me I was going to hell and all kinds of other stuff, but, you know, because of I wasn't doing the correct interpretations and so forth. And so I, you know, and everybody was like, man, sit down. You know, all these guys were going like, man, sit down. You know, I didn't say nothing. I said, let the man speak his opinion. You know, I was holding my tongue. But, of course, I had to get the last word in. You know. You know. I had to get the last word, and I told him when he got the Spirit, he'd get understanding. You know, it was the truth, you know. But there were some other things I really wanted to say. But, you know, the wicked one was standing before me and I had to guard my ways. Amen. Lest I sin with my tongue. Praise be to God. Now, in verse 2, let's read this. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Now, at least he spoke the right thing. Look at it. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am. That was a wonderful response. Amen. Oh, I wonder how many of us would sub that. To God be the glory. Turn to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 37. Oh, hallelujah. Tomorrow we're going to hear wonderful things. Is everybody at Ezekiel 37? And verse 1. Then the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there was very many in an open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, read this together with me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And verse 5, Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now listen, what was he doing? He was calling those things that are not as though they are. It's called prophesying into your own life. When you're saying, I'm blessed, you're prophesying in your own life. When you're saying, no weapon formed against me can prosper, you're prophesying into your own life. Does everybody get it? Now, we don't want to do the things that... We don't want to speak things in that are not of God. Amen? So, you know that when the Lord is working on something, in other words, let me just share that. Let's say a couple gets divorced. All right? It's God's will, first of all, that they never did get divorced. Amen? But we want God's perfect will on that, don't we? Because once divorce has happened, the Word says that they're not to, if they get reconciled, that they're not to remarry, and it's okay to be reconciled to one another. Amen? But sometimes we're praying, Lord, please bring my wife or my husband back when it's not God's time. Okay? And then what happens? We get frustrated because God's not answering our prayer. Or if it's a job that you want, Lord, I want this job. Well, maybe God's got a better job. Or, Lord, I want this car. Well, maybe God's got a better car. So what we do is we lift it to the Lord and we thank the Lord for reconciliation and His perfect will. We thank the Lord for the job that He's bringing to us according to His perfect will. Does everybody get it? Now, we know that if we have lost children, He wants them saved. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that, is there? So we begin to call it in. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing my child. Now, my daughter's not saved. I've been serving the Lord 8 years, and I know she's going to make it home. I know she's going to make it home. If I never saw my daughter again, I would see her when I got home. Why? Because I know that my house will be saved according to His Word, because I'm in position for it to be saved. But if I get out of position, it could be lost. Does everybody get it? Okay. And now I'm able to call them. Remember, understand this. Let's back up a little bit. So this is very important. In the first verse of Ezekiel 37, it said, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord." What was He doing? He's positioning him so that he could prophesy it. Does everybody get it? See, there are people that are not right with God trying to call things in. They ain't coming. You got to be in position. Does everybody get it? One morning, one day I was taking a nap, and I heard the voice of the Lord wake me up. And He woke me up. He said, Guy, and I woke up. And I thought it was my wife at first, and I went out to the living room. I said, Kate, what's up? And I was a little frustrated. Man, what's up? I just laid down. Come on, you knew I was going to sleep. You told me you were going to, you know. And she said, honey, I didn't call you. I said, oh, okay. I went back into my room, and I got quickened. Guy, if she didn't call you, who did? Oh, Lord, what's up? He said to me, I want you to prophesy. I started praying in tongues. And then He said, I want you to prophesy for this woman. She's in trouble. And I began to prophesy over her life that God would make a way of escape, this, that, whatever, and all kinds of things. Come Bible study, a woman shows up at Bible study. And she said, man, I was going through so much stuff on this one day. I said, was it about 2 o'clock? She said, yes. I said, the Lord woke me up and had me prophesying over you. She said, powerful. So what happened? The Lord had me in position, didn't He? So that He would wait. He woke me up and had me speak over her life because she was going through a bunch of stuff. Something was going on, terrible. God made a way of escape for her. Through what? Through the word of the Lord, not through the word of a man. Does everybody get it? You'll find that through the Bible and the Old Testament that the Lord will show up to these servants or send His Spirit to bring them in position, and He'll say, son of man, prophesy. What was He doing? He was taking the Word of God and speaking it into the natural realm because God wanted to get something in the natural realm from the Spirit. Does everybody get it? He'll give you dreams, visions, impressions, and He'll give you confirmation. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. So we see here that the tongue is a weapon, isn't it? Let's go to... it can be either used as a weapon for God or a weapon for who? The devil. Amen. In fact, let's go to Proverbs 10. Yes, Proverbs 10. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10, verse 20. Everybody there? Let's read it. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Keep going. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for lack of wisdom. Whoa. Powerful, isn't it? Go to Proverbs 12. Verse 18. 18 and 19. Well, let's start at verse 17. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's read this together. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceives. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Whoa. Hallelujah. Let's go to... Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Is everybody there? Verse 28, somewhere around there. Verse 27. Let's read it together. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Oh. Stay out of trouble. To speak praise. Speak righteousness. Praise be to God. And Psalm 120. Verse 1, start. In my distress I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Wow. So what was he saying? Deliver my own soul from a false tongue, a lying tongue. Deliver me, Lord. Why? Because what you sow is what you reap. Hallelujah. Psalm 141. Excuse me. Psalm 141. Glory to God. In verse 1, 1 through 4. Lord, I cried out to you, make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense. Is that from your tongue? Amen. The lifting of my hands is an evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. See, you can eat of the delicacies of the wicked by joining in the conversation of wickedness. Anybody ever tell a dirty joke and you went and laughed with them? You just ate the delicacies of the wicked and most likely opened the door to a spirit. You got to understand something. They're waiting for every loophole, just like an attorney. And the Bible says, woe to those attorneys, don't they? Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's go to verse 12, chapter 13. Let's read this together. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls and those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Hallelujah. In conclusion, I've got a lot of things, but we're going to end this. I think everything is, we all got the gist. Amen. Or the jest. What you speak will be judged, and what you sow, you will also reap. Think before you speak, because the power is in your tongue. Now, I want to share that. Everything that we speak, we are accountable for. Does everybody understand that? Everything we speak. That's why it's so important that you ask for God's forgiveness every night for the things that you've spoken. Amen? We want to cleanse every night because the Bible tells us that our tongue can be deceitful, backbiting, vicious, a viper, poison, and all kinds of other things. Yield your tongue to the Lord, to the Spirit of God. Pray in tongues. Before you speak, make sure it's of God. Amen? So you don't set a stumbling block before anybody else and yourself. Call those things that are not as though they are. You're to call them in. You're prophesying them in from the spirit realm into the natural realm. God has given you the tongue of power. If you can cast out devils by speaking it, praise God. Amen? He's given us the tongue. Is the ready writer for the kingdom of God. Don't yield it to the kingdom of darkness. Lord, we thank you for your word. Amen. We honor you and we bless you and we surrender our tongue to you, Lord. Put a guard over it. And help us speak the things of you and not the things of darkness. Lord, we bless you, we honor you, and we glorify you. And we thank you for your word tonight and your teaching. Now, Holy Spirit, illuminate your word as we walk. Quicken us, Lord, in remembrance to through your teaching tonight that we can be submissive. Give us the strength to say yes to you and no to temptation. Give us the strength and position us that the flows of your river, of your word, of your love, of your compassion, of your glory would manifest through us. Knowing that the word is known as a sword of the Spirit, because when it is spoken, it becomes living, rhema, word. In Jesus' name.